We're going to turn this morning to the prophecy of Isaiah, the very first chapter, Isaiah chapter 1. These are the words of the Lord through his servant to Israel, and especially Judah, as she has departed from the ways of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the day of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it, and will end there. The text that I want to consider with you briefly this morning is verse 18, very well-known passage. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This is a familiar passage, and we ought to set it in some historical relevance a moment. As you know, Isaiah the prophet prophesies, as we read here, to Jerusalem and to Judah, but also to Israel. This was the time of the divided kingdom. As you know, the 10 tribes had rebelled. Our children can tell you that story. They learned it in catechism. The 10 tribes had rebelled against Judah, the faithful, under Rehoboam. And they very boldly proclaimed that they had no share in the house of David, which of course essentially meant that they did not want the descendant of David, our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore they rejected the Messiah. The Lord gave them over to apostasy, and soon Assyria took hold of the 10 tribes, and they never returned again except just a small remnant. Judah was also apostate. She too was in a sad state of affairs, as you could easily gather from the things that we have read here. And soon, as you know, the typical kingdom, which came to all its glory under David and Solomon, is going to be broken down. And the reason for that ultimately is this. Israel had to look for the kingdom of God, realized in the King, our Lord Jesus Christ, of which the earthly was only typical. That's the situation. Now, it's to Judah that Isaiah comes. And he brings to them the word of God, and he says, God wants to reason with you. Though your sins be as scarlet, red like crimson, I'm telling you, they're forgiven in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's essentially the word here. The plight of Judah was very, very sad. You read that already in the very first part of this chapter. Hear, O heavens, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And here's the figure. The ox knows his owner, the ass knows his master's crib, but Israel doesn't know me. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, the seed of evildoers, children of corruptors, and so forth. A sinful people. But the Lord had saved himself a remnant. That's the hut in the cucumber patch. Else Israel and Judah would be just like Sodom and Gomorrah, because they too, for their iniquities, could easily be punished in the same fashion. But the Lord brings the gospel of his grace to them, and he says, let's reason together. Let me make plain unto you, you are my people. Though your sins be as scarlet, I have given unto you salvation full and free. Now you say, what does that have to do with us this morning? I think by now you understand the parallel, correct? We too have just come back from a week of self-examination. The Lord has reasoned with us. And you and I agree this morning that in that reasoning we have come to the conclusion, and the Lord has said to us, your sins rise up against you. They are red like crimson. They are like scarlet. But even though that's the case, and here comes the gospel of God's grace, you are whiter than snow. You are like wool, which originally in its color, of course, was pure white. Though your sins rise up against you, you are justified in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you have in the text here. So I take as my theme for just a little while this morning, before we sit at the Lord's table, summoned by God. There are just two things that we ought to realize here and highlight. In the first place, this, that we are sinners. In the second place, that nevertheless, God speaks the gospel of his grace and says, you are forgiven. God summons his people together. Let us reason together. Now you see, as you and I find that in our version here, the language is a little misleading. Because when you read, come let us reason together, it might seem as if we have a case to be made with God, as if God comes to us and he expects us to present before him the very best that we have, or at least ameliorate the very condition in which we find ourselves, as if you and I can bring something to the bargain table. Let us reason together, as if you and I have something to say unto the Lord that might somehow be pleasing unto him. But that's not what the text says, you see, because the whole of the chapter testifies against that. Verse 4, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, the seed of evildoers, children of corruptors that have forsaken the Lord, provoked the Holy One to Israel. The Lord in His judgment could have done what He did to Sodom and Gomorrah, except for the very small remnant, according to His election of grace, that still existed in the kingdom of Judah, because God never forsakes His people. That's the truth of the matter. So what is all this reasoning all about? Why does God call His people together? If you could read it in the original, beloved, you would be able to see that this is essentially a command. God commands His people and He says, come, let us reason together. Come and hear what I have to say to you. And then you notice what God says. He doesn't ask a question, do you think you're a sinful people? He doesn't ask the question, have you got something to present to me? God doesn't do that at all. God immediately, as it were, falls in with the door, you see, and God says this, come, let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet. He immediately makes known what the reasoning is going to be. There's no question about it. You and I are not going to present to God a different case. We're not going to somehow be able to subtract from the truth of the matter. God says, though your sins be as scarlet, God is going to make us understand, as He did with Israel of old, as he did with us last week in self-examination, God makes us understand that we are a sinful people. That's a little word, though. In spite of, even though, doesn't matter which one of those words you use, it's the idea here. Though your sins are as scarlet. That's what you and I learned last week. No matter what we brought before the face of God last week in self-examination, and Paul demanded of us that we do that before we sit at the Lord's table this morning. No matter what you and I conjured up before God, you and I stood there in our sinfulness. And we learned again and anew that no matter what you and I do, it is all polluted with sin, and there is none righteous, no, not one, as our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us, and there is none that can stand before the face of God and say, I have earned before God. We are all unprofitable servants, you understand. That was the word of God to Israel. And the indictment continues. We did not continue to read after verse 21. How has the faithful city become a harlot, full of judgment? Righteousness is gone. Murderers. That's God's indictment. But you see, we're not interested in staying with Judah of old. This is not an Old Testament Bible story that has no meaning for you, has no meaning for me. No, this is something where you and I can say this morning, if the shoe fits, put it on. And the shoe fits. The shoe fits to a T. Our sins rise up against us. I don't care whether you want to talk about our original guilt, whether you want to talk about our actual sins. It doesn't make any difference. There is sin that stands between us and our God. Was there any question about that this week? Was there any question when you and I came face to face with God? After we heard the part of the form that presented to a self-examination, is there any question that you and I are sinners, one and all? If there was a question in your mind, and if you say, I'm not, then I don't know what we're doing here this morning. Because we've come here to hear the gospel of grace, and that you find in our text so very powerfully. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Even though, in spite of the fact that you and I are great sinners, it is always the gospel of God's grace that takes hold of us, that immediately follows the indictment of God's judgment. That's the way God works. Read all the accounts that you have in the new dispensational scriptures and you will find that. Read the Old Testament. Page through the Psalms and you'll find that God brings attention to our sinfulness. Why? That He may receive all the glory of His grace. God brings us to the knowledge of sin, as we saw, and the form picks up on that so very beautifully, you understand. You recall. Not that we should be discouraged, as if no one might sit at the Lord's table except those that are without sin. But God brings us to the knowledge of our sin, that you and I may know the greatness of His grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we learn that we do not look for our righteousness within ourselves, but outside of ourselves in our Lord Jesus Christ. Though we are a people laden with sin, though our iniquities rise up against us, yet we had the same thing not too long ago, did we not? Lord's Day 27, I remember it quite vividly. I'm sure if I call it to your mind, it will be refreshed in your memory. Lord's Day 25. You recall I pointed out exactly that same contrast. Lord's Day 23, rather. Though my conscience accuse me that I have grievously sinned against all the commandments of God and kept none of them, and am still inclined to all evil, yet God, same thing, without any merit of mine of mere grace, grants and imputes unto me the perfect righteousness and holiness of Christ, as if I never had committed any sin. There you have exactly the same truth. That's where that truth comes from. Yet, though we are sinners, God in His grace comes to us, and He brings us His Son, the gospel of His grace. And not only does He do that through the preaching of the gospel, as we said last Sunday evening when we pointed out the difference between the preaching and the sacraments, He privileges us that we may be confirmed in that truth, in that conviction, when He privileges us to sit at the Lord's table. So what you and I hear in the gospel of grace every Sunday, how great sinners we are, how great the promise of God in Christ is, you and I get to eat and to drink of that this morning to the confirmation and strengthening of exactly that same faith. And what was the conclusion last week? I'm a grievous sinner. And when we confessed our sins before God, what's the gospel that we heard? Though your iniquities are great, though your sins rise up against you, in spite of who you are, God comes to us and He says, your sins are gone. They are, though they are white, though they are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Much is made of those colors. They are blood red. Probably the judgment and the justice of God against sin. It really doesn't make that much difference. It is an indictment against Israel. It stands as an indictment against us. And understanding that, and confessing that, we're able to take hold of the wonderful word that follows. Though they are, they're white, you're white as snow. Though they are like crimson, you're cleansed and white as wool. That's what this is all about. This is my body which is broken for you. that our sins might be forgiven. This is my blood which was poured out for you, that we might be covered in our iniquities. Let's sit down presently and let's partake of that tremendous grace of God with thanksgiving and praise in our hearts. Amen. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word unto us this morning. Even as thou didst make plain to Judah and Israel of old, so it is with us. We discovered that last week. Yet how great is thy love toward us in Christ, that though we are grievous sinners, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We thank thee. May we now sit down and may we be strengthened in that faith. Amen.